This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that leads today's show are as follows. Sexual harassment in Silicon Valley. We're going to talk a little time and talk about that, some developments that have happened there. The Google Project Loon Balloons in Puerto Rico. The Kaspersky Code Review. We're going to talk about FBI and phone encryption, of course, plus a whole bunch of other news stories of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1234. Yes, 1234 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, October 23rd. This show, of course, is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider. Or simply paypal.me/geeknews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a very warm welcome to all the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're checking us out live, either on Facebook or on live.geeknewscentral.com with YouTube, welcome to the show. We got a new chat room over at live.geeknewscentral.com. So feel free to use that. You're tuning in today to a show where it has been pouring rain here in Hawaii, and we're getting very rare thunder and lightning. So maybe during the show, I mean, it's been probably a year or more since we've had any thunder or lightning, and I heard a little bit earlier, heard the thunder, didn't see the lightning. So maybe you guys will get to experience that, like, yeah, I know, it's weird. But as I've explained many times on the show, it just doesn't thunder or lightning here in Hawaii. But if you're brand new to the show, I want to welcome you to the podcast. And really, the key here for you today as a brand new listener is take time and visit geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, get subscribed to the show, either via Apple Podcasts, on Android, via email, Google Play, Stitcher, or TuneIn. Or just come to the website or listen or watch the show. We want you to get subscribed. That's the best way to never miss a single episode. And of course, we want you to get to sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about in today's show. That goes out immediately following the publication of this show. So you'll never miss any of the show notes, and you'll have those in your email archive. So what else is going on here? And let me bring this back. Of course, if you have comments on today's show, you can email me, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter, @geeknews. You can join our Slack channel by sending an email and asking to join the Slack channel. You can follow me on Google Plus or Facebook by searching for my name, Todd Cochran. Of course, you want to watch the show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast app or on Apple TV. You can listen or watch over there. You can listen on your Amazon Echo by telling your device to play the latest edition of this show's name. Of course, you can listen on Stitcher, watch, review on Blueberry.com, or tell your Google Home device to play the podcast Geek News Central. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob Evett, Jeff, the Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site being written by my fantastic writing team, along with the content on GeekNewsCentral.com. Of course, we got the new media show with Rob Greenlee and I. This is done every Saturday morning in the Podcast Legend Show, with which I seem to get an episode about every millennium. But anyway, everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana again, and thanks for being subscribed to the show. I'm absolutely thrilled that you're with us. But this show would not be possible without our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And GoDaddy has got deals for you to save money on domain names, hosting accounts. Matter of fact, this afternoon, I needed to move a few sites around and do some different things. I picked up a couple of new hosting accounts at GoDaddy, used my own promo codes to sign up, and it's amazing. You know, I get that first year with a GoDaddy shared hosting account, managed WordPress hosting account for $12 plus a free domain. So if you got an eye on a domain, you know what you can do is the domains are only going to cost you $8.49. So throw a hosting account on there for the first year for $12. And you really, you've saved a, you know, you've gotten a hosting account and a domain name all in one. So that managed WordPress hosting, economy hosting, both those come with 12 months for the first year, including a free domain. 99cent.com is an offer that's available. 30% on new product purchases. That one I've used a few times as well. But of course, for you business owners, 1 month free of GoDaddy Website Builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. All those deals can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. It's a place to save. This is a place to go get all your domain and web hosting needs. This is what you do to support the show. And if you don't pick up a domain name, if you don't pick up a hosting account, become an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Okay, so anyway, that's going to get into a few comments here about what's been happening. For some reason, I'm all over the place tonight. Getting started. I don't have my windows in the right place. But unlike last weekend, I got a huge amount of work done this past weekend. I broke out the storage boxes, and I broke out some of the gear that I use for the new portable studio for CES. And I got the TriCaster Mini hooked up, did an update on it, made sure everything was working good, basically wired in a new piece of gear that I've used. It was really simple. This year we're going to be using the Mix Pre 6 for our audio routing for the show. Just plug all the headsets into that in a single tap back over to the TriCaster. So that's going to be awesome. Going to save us about $300 in shipping by taking a little box that big and just, you know, kind of check things out, and everything looks like we're ready to, you know, basically get the shipping gear, the shipping stuff around in December, and we'll be ready to do our show at CES. Now, took some time and got the furniture, got the internet ordered, everything you need for the 7x12 studio that we've been allotted by the CTA and the CES group for our broadcast location, which is going to be in the Sands Hall. We found out we're going to be on level 2. It's not perfect, but there's no broadcast booths on level 1. So we're going to take what we can get. We're still in the middle of the hottest, most exciting part of the entire CES event. We're going to be 4 days live from the Sands. It's going to be really exciting. It's a completely different model than what we've used before. We're not going to have this big 10x20 open booth. Everyone's actually going to come into the studio, sit down, be interviewed. We'd be able to lock the room at night, not need $2,500 worth of security. It's just a whole better setup cost-wise and everything. So I'm really jazzed about, you know, we learned from last year and what they provided, and this year's going to be simply incredible in the locations that that we're at. Keep looking at the wrong camera. Got the press passes for the team. We've got a cameraman locked in. Let me turn this around. I keep looking at the secondary camera screen. So Colton Clymer, who I have known for many years, and he's going to be our cameraman this year. And the reason I've known Colton for many, many years, he's my second cousin. And he does a podcast, and he just finished journalism school, and he's been doing some stuff for Geek News Central a little bit on the side. And he said, "Hey, can I be your cameraman?" And I'm like, "Yes, you can." So Colton's going to be joining us. And of course, we have our executive producer here, Kirk Corliss, is going to be coming, who does a lot of the show production. Now, he'll be joining us. He'll be taking care of all social media. He'll be doing taking still pictures. He's going to be really the person that's going to be documenting and getting the word out on what we're doing and guests. And so Kirk's going to be busy, but look forward to having both those team members out there working the show. And it's really going to be an exciting time. So we got some updates on the website, posted some stuff on Geek News Central. I still need to work on the sponsor packages. That's the thing that's left. And I saw a video a couple days ago by a guy that just got a Hero 6 GoPro. And in the kit, he had the ability to hook up an external microphone. And I was like, whoa. Well, turns out, I guess this external microphone thing on GoPros has been around a while. I just didn't know it. My biggest complaint about recording with the GoPro has always been the audio and really having no control on the audio quality. So anybody use an external mic with a GoPro 5, with a Hero 5? If you are, I want to hear about what package you're using. I'm going to be doing some research and probably ordering some stuff, but love to hear your thoughts on that. In the mail this week, and let me show this to you folks. You guys are going to love this. For those of you that are watching, for those of you that are not, what I'm holding in my hand is called the Pad, yes, Pad, P-A-D, Caster Verse. And this is a Kickstarter. And I bought one of the first versions of this that was designed for full-size iPads. But we all are minimizing our setups. And what this Padcaster does is it will take a full, take an iPad mini. It'll hold it and clamp it in place. It's got a place for to put it on a stand. You can hook there's a place up here, a shoe hookup. So it's got two shoe hookups on the side. But what's cool about this device is that you can pull these little legs down. You can take your mobile phone, any mobile phone, in its case, and many of these holders for phones do not support holding the phone when it's not in its case. In this instance, that's not the deal. So it squeezes down, and then you lock it, and then it won't open. It doesn't open on its own, and you can mount this. This is freaking awesome. So I can have an external mic. I can have even wireless on here. It can hook to a tripod or a mono stick, whatever it may be. And I can quickly change out if I want to. I unlock it so it doesn't fall out of the case. I close these up and I can put the iPad mini. So this is a very durable, works with any phone. It'll work with a Samsung. It'll work with a small iPhone. It'll work with the iPhone 7, 8. Again, the iPad mini. And it'll hold it and stabilize it. You know, this little piece of gear here will replace like 5 things that I have to throw in a bag now, depending on our shooting situation. This is pretty versatile and really will support any device that I'm going to be recording with when it comes to a mobile device. So this is really, really slick. And it's called the Padcaster, Padcaster Verse. It delivered. I did a Kickstarter on this. I can't remember what my contribution level was, but I knew it was going to be good, and the team did a nice job. So you guys can search that on the internet. I'll try to put a link up to it in the show notes. Also tonight, just to let you know, I had a great weekend for workouts. Got 3 full workouts Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Did not get one today, but I'll be back in the gym tomorrow. So back on track in the march to 175. Yes, 175 pounds continues when I started well over and way past 210, 215 earlier. Actually, almost 220, 225 earlier in the year. So we're on the march to 175 here. All right, so that, I've already spent a lot of time here at the beginning of the show, so let me talk about this sexual harassment scandal in Silicon Valley. I woke up, I think Friday after the show. We talked about the sexual harassment stuff going on the last show. But little did I know that someone I know would be in the middle of this controversy. And I don't know Robert Scoble intimately. I've seen Robert, said hello to him at different conferences. You know, he knows me by name. Robert's a well-known fixture around Silicon Valley. He, a few years ago, he had a big discussion about his issues with alcohol and substance abuse, and had entered rehab and spent some time to get his act together. Well, when I heard about the sexual harassment charges against Robert Scoble, I was just like, you gotta be kidding me. And technology journalist Quinn Norton had decided to go public with her story following a week in which, of course, hundreds of women have shared their Me Too stories of their own sexual harassment online. And apparently, at an event before Robert went into rehab, he had had, as it appears now, one or two allegations of sexual harassment. And Scoble had came out and did an interview and had basically said, I apologize. And he went into the dialogue on how he was abused when he was younger. And, I understand let me back up. I've traveled the world. I went to many parties, threw down with the best of them with sailors, consumed in my younger youth, consumed too much alcohol, but never in my mind during any of that time is there anything that I can think back in my past and be ashamed of from a standpoint of doing something inappropriate with a woman. And I understand Robert had substance abuse issues, and I'm not going to say that's an excuse by any means, because we've all had too much to drink sometimes and done stupid things, right? Men and women have, but and I'm not saying every person's perfect by any means. And we've all, had an evening or two in our lifetimes, and the majority of people, I'm not saying maybe you haven't, but, if you've gone out and partied a little bit, you woke up and like, oh, man, how'd things, and did I make myself look like too much of a jerk last night? And, him making this public apology and talking about it happening before he went into rehab, to me, I'm not going to say justified it, because it doesn't. I just thought, well, he realized he had an issue. He's went through rehab, and he's back on track. Well, like the next day, next articles come out that this behavior, alleged behavior, has continued post-rehab, and that maybe some of the substance abuse has not completely gone away. And that's where it really struck me that, wow, there's a serious, Scoble's got a serious issue if these allegations are true. And I messaged him on Facebook and sent him a private message to which he responded. But I think that we are living in a time, and the world has changed dramatically, that, as I said before on the last show, this kind of activity, men and women cannot continue. And I know it's been hard for a lot of ladies to come out and say, me too, right? And I'm sure there's a here and there a few guys that'll say me too, but I think the far majority of the Me Too crowd is women, you know, probably 90%, 95%. So the confession and apology by Scoble is one thing, but I have true concerns that if this activity, and he is headed it you know, head on. And Scoble, if you're listening, you know, and if these allegations are true post rehab, please seek some help. And because it's really bad, you know. And I hope you get the help you need on this. You know, he's sorry that he's caused this pain. And, but I do have concerns that there are continued allegations post rehab. You know, I really do. So, very saddened by the news and the number of names that are coming out that, and again, we don't know all the circumstances, and some of the stuff that's being said is pretty damning, but just wonder. I wonder if he can recover from this, to be honest with you. So, anyway, that's all I really want to say about that. I was just pretty shocked to see this next, you know, this next round here. Mike's asking in the chat room. He says that, can you give an update on the progress with the Eddystone beacons? Well, the ones I got from China, they're still working on that. And I'm probably going to get an update. But the ones that I have from the other company, that's all on track. I'm just now, at this point, trying to determine if we can actually program a site and put something together that we can use to build a business around. As far as being able to deploy them manually at this point and update them one by one, that's very easily done. And I need to get the video out talking about that. That's something on my list to do. Okay, and Mike, I know you're talking about the flight tracker, talking about the Google balloons. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. But for the ladies out there that are listening, that have a Me Too moment, you know, I hope those that have been the abusers or the harassers, I hope that you get an apology, and I hope those individuals make it right. I don't know if that'll ever happen in most cases, but one can only be hopeful, right? Not that it really changes anything. But I don't know. I don't know what it's to walk in those shoes. You know, I really, really don't. So it's I definitely can understand the frustration and that's out there for sure. Okay. Google's Project Loon Balloons restored connectivity in Puerto Rico. Hurricane Maria caused remarkable damage. We all know that. It's been a few weeks since the disaster, and much of the island is still without power. We know that the FCC recently permitted Google to deploy Project Loon LTE balloons in Puerto Rico and has now done that. The helium balloons have helped restore connectivity on parts of the island. Google's parent company, Alphabet, has deployed the balloons, which are now providing internet access to remote areas of Puerto Rico. The balloons don't provide coverage on their own. They have to be linked up with a cellular network service in order to provide connectivity. Therefore, AT&T subscribers on the island can now access basic email, text, and web. Two Project Loon balloons have been deployed so far. They're floating some 18,000 meters above the island. Alphabet has confirmed it's going to deploy more balloons in the coming days to further improve the communication network on the hurricane-ravaged island. And this is the first time the company has used this machine learning-powered algorithms. To keep the balloons clustered over Puerto Rico. They say, we're still learning how best to do this, the head of Project Loons said. He added, as the team gets more familiar with the shifting winds in this region, it's going to get a better, get better at keeping the balloons over the areas where connectivity is required for as long as possible. So Mike says in the chat room here that Flight Tracker mobile app shows the Google balloons worldwide. They have several all around the world. So very, very cool. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that for those of you that want to check it out. Kaspersky is pledging an independent code review to cast off spying suspicions. Well, of course, they've got time to clean up the code. So, you know, there's been reports that data collected by the company's anti-malware client was used to target NSA contractor and various accusations of connections to Russian intelligence. Kaspersky Lab announced the launch of the what the company executives call a global transparency initiative as part of their effort aimed at regaining the trust of corporate and government customers, among others. They said the company would open product code and the company's secure coding practices to independent review by the first quarter of 2018. It's still not going to satisfy everyone, for sure. But anyway, we'll see what happens with that. The FBI announced that they haven't been able to retrieve data from more than half of the mobile phones it tried to access in less than a year. FBI Director Christopher Wray said Sunday, turning up the heat on a debate between technology companies and law enforcement. He says in the first 11 months of the fiscal year, federal agents were unable to access the contents of more than 6,900 mobile devices. To put it mildly, this is a huge problem. It impacts investigations across the boards, narcotics, human trafficking, counterterrorism, counterintelligence, gangs, organized crime, and child exploitation. The FBI and other law enforcement officials have long complained about being unable to unlock and recover evidence from cell phones and other devices seized from suspects, even if they have a warrant. So, we'll see. We'll see when Congress does their thing and forces tech companies to provide backdoors to law enforcement. Let me do something here. If I can hit the right button. Is that the right one? Let me try this. Oh, it was. All right. So let's move back off that. The pepper in the corner was just a little too big. I had to readjust it. In news surrounding CES, the United Kingdom is going to help CES tech startups after the expo. The chief of CES Tech Expo has revealed the UK government is funding a selection of startups to attend the event. The funding of a pavilion within the show's Eureka Park, that's where we're going to be, Startup Zone represents a strategy shift for the UK. Gary Shapiro had previously said it was a source of embarrassment that small UK companies had not received such support at the 2017 show. Ministers had insisted that the UK firm still had a significant presence. Tech UK, an industry group that has partnered with the government to run the stands, acknowledged Mr. Shapiro's intervention had made a difference. It said it definitely helped. Now, here's the deal. China flies almost all of the Chinese vendors into CES. They charter 747s, fill it with all their gear, and bring it over to them. So all the Chinese firms have to do is get their people in place. They pay for their pavilions. It's really incredible what the government does for the Chinese companies. So it's nice to see that the UK is kind of stepping up and helping some UK companies. Now, apparently, with the 4,000 exhibitors and the 60,000 people that it went over to Eureka Park, 55 UK companies booked show floor space, and France fielded 248 compared to China's 1,800. Now, this year, the Great Britain and Northern Ireland Pavilion provide pods to about a dozen startups. The spaces will be smaller than a separate stand, but to help us being provided to design the area and attract visitors. We will be there. We will be in there hot and heavy. We promise we will give the French, the UK, any Irish, you name it, we will be there to support and to cover cool companies bringing very interesting stuff to the show. So don't worry, we're going to be, this is the area. These are this Eureka Park area that in the early days of CES, Annie McCaskey and I, and those of you who've been around from the beginning, when we walked the floor and found all these cool startups that are now over in Central Hall with won't even talk to us anymore, those are the guys that we're going to be seeing this year in detail. I mean, in gory, deep, deep detail. I got 4 days to cover one building, and there's about like 1,000 or more vendors in that building. Don't worry. Plenty, plenty for us to cover. All right, so a little bit of space news. As the International Space Station completed one orbit around Earth this morning, people all over the planet beam photos of their ground-based views up to the observing observatory. NASA astronaut Randy Bresnik, who is currently at the space station, requested on social media that people of Earth help him capture a moment in time by taking photos of Earth from below while he took his own photos from above. With the help of NASA astronauts Joe Acabi, Bresnik spent about 90 minutes, the amount of time it takes a space station to complete one orbit around the Earth, taking photos from the windows from the Kupola Observatory. And so they're comparing orbit and ground. It's pretty cool. Link will be up in the show notes on this, and there's some video to go along with it. All right, the best iPhone 10 deals where you can save up to $350. So, you know, that $1,000 phone, if you want to save some money, I've got an article with deals from Sprint, Verizon, from T-Mobile. Maybe T-Mobile and Sprint are going to be joined at the hip soon. There's trade-in deals available from all carriers. Discounts, of course, if you want to pay monthly for the phone. Some cases selections too. That link will be up for you today from the folks at GottaBeMobile.com. Again, T-Mobile is offering $300 off an iPhone 10 if you trade in your current phone. Verizon is offering up to $300 towards the iPhone 10 with device trade-in for customers on unlimited plans. That's the big stickler here. If you have an unlimited plan. Now, for $200 off, you can, there's some other phones up there too. Let me see, last year, you need a specific smartphone to trade in, and the list will be up in the article. So, example, iPhone 6, 7, Google Pixel, XL, LG, G6, Moto Z2, Galaxy S7, Edge, Galaxy S8 or S8 Plus. Then they have smaller discounts for other phones that you turn in that they will ultimately resell. That's what they do with a lot of those phones that you trade in. AT&T has extended the deadline on the $85.4 billion merger with Time Warner. The telecom giant is still seeking U.S. regulatory approval on its acquisition, which would rank as one of the biggest ever. Of course, AT&T and Time Warner had an original deadline of October 22nd. But it's faced some serious scrutiny, including skepticism from the current administration. And AT&T executives have been working to win the administration over to ease public concerns. Last week, the deal's termination deadline looming, AT&T Turner agreed to move the goalpost for a short period. The goal at the point is to obtain the final regulatory approval needed to close the merger and expects that to happen by the end of 2017. Of course, Time Warner's holdings include film studios Warner Brothers, New Line Cinema, CNN, HBO. And, of course, should AT&T seal the deal, this would be one of the largest acquisitions ever. Cisco, they just shelled out $1.9 billion to acquire BroadSoft. And, the reason may not appear apparent, but it has to do with Microsoft and Skype for Business having the attention of a lot of MSPs and mobile operators, as they are channel partners for Microsoft. And Cisco had nothing really in the cloud to attach what the Spark to. And they don't know anything about Spark. And so I guess whatever this Spark feature is, it left them as a feature, not a business. So anyway, BroadSoft got $1.9 billion in cash. Now, if you think about that, Skype was bought for $8.5 billion by Microsoft. WhatsApp was purchased by Facebook for $19 billion, or 8.5 times as much. And it's all about the cloud. So again, don't know a lot about BroadSoft's business, but they have been acquired. All right, the ultimate guide to paying less at Starbucks. I can't be honest with you. I can't remember the last time I was in a Starbucks. My wife goes in there once. I have some Star Cups cups, but I don't buy Star Cups coffee. Matter of fact, I have I can't say that. I'm using a thermogenic, so that has typically caffeine in it, a lot of caffeine in it, but I'm not drinking coffee because you're not supposed to take a thermogenic and also at the same time drink coffee. It's too much caffeine. But people have found a way to evil hack Starbucks. For example, the most famous and controversial hack at Starbucks earned 597 comments in the Starbucks gossip blog. And the person said they saved an iced latte by making a ghetto latte. They ordered an iced Americano with no water. Okay. Then they added the milk from the communal pitcher. Some baristas hate the hack because they now have to refill the milk, but try tipping them half the difference, but don't expect them to thank you. Today.com blogger Alessandra Dubman recently tested this hack and got a $5 three-shot iced latte for $2.65 with no dirty looks, and then went over and poured in the milk. So there's more hacks here on how you can save money at Starbucks. And I'll be honest with you, if my wife sees this, I'm not going into Starbucks with her because she'll do this. But come on, you're using a product, buy the product. Pay the company for their product. You know, it's, I understand you got to have your $5 or $6 coffee fix every day, but there are cheaper ways to get a coffee fix. One's called a machine at home. Over in Android Central, they have a $13 Sano wireless charger. It works with a whole lot of phones. So if you've got a phone like a Samsung Galaxy S8, or an S7 Edge, iPhone 10, iPhone 8, iPhone 8 Plus. The Q-enabled device will charge at regular wireless charging speeds. So $12.99 on Amazon. You can't beat the price. You really can't. Apparently in iOS 11, some people have been having problems tethering. I have not had this issue, but it's being reported as something that's pretty significant out there, and folks have been having trouble. So if you've been having problems tethering your iPhone, I'll be honest with you, the biggest problem I've had with iPhone 11, especially since I got the earbuds or whatever they are from Apple, is you can switch between devices, and if the iPad currently has control of the earbuds, switching it back to the iPhone requires me to shut off Bluetooth on the iPad, shut off Bluetooth on my iPhone, turn Bluetooth back on my iPhone, and try to reconnect with the earbuds. But that's the only issue I've had. It's just annoying. But anyway, folks have had some trouble. I'll have a link up in the show notes on basically what you can do to kind of help yourself with those hotspot connectivity issues when you're tethering your iPhone. I'm going to run out of water before the show. Space traffic alert. 8 asteroids have buzzed Earth in just 3 weeks. Well, they went on by. They didn't hit us. So I guess it's nothing to worry about. They're already on the outbound. So October's turning to be a busy month asteroid-wise, so keep your head down out there, all right? Toshiba has just announced a breakthrough battery that can charge in 6 minutes. Now, Toshiba didn't talk about the cost per kilowatt hour, so it's probably not cheap, but they've got a car battery. Yes, a car battery, a 32 kilowatt electric vehicle battery that can provide triple the range when compared with a typical lithium-ion battery running on the same 6 minute charge cycle. But charge time is only part of the battery. Anyone's plugged in an old phone one too many times knows the charge cycles and hard lines also factor into what makes a good battery. But Toshiba says that they have the battery will retain 90% of its capacity after 5,000 charges. That's 14 years worth of cycles. So this is pretty exciting. So if you can get some 6 minute charge times that and get some serious range from that, that's like pulling in a gas station, you know, plugging in, getting 6 minutes worth of power to charge your battery. This is going to be interesting. We'll see where this battery tech goes. This could be a game changer because my wife drives her car all day, then comes in and plugs it in all night because she's still charging it on the slow charger instead of a fast charger. But, you know, I can't convince her to spend the $300 to get the fast charger installed. I may just have to do that for Christmas anyway. All right, top seven sites for video games in deal bargains. So if you're looking for deals, and because my kid is currently out of money, he bought himself an expensive boogie board, and he was came in and wanting to buy a game. I'm like, give me the cash, and he didn't have any. So Kirk finding this today, I sent my son the link to this, and he's came in, thanks, Dad. So anyway, this is a place to save on games. Link could be up in the show notes for you to check it out. All right, over by makeuseof.com. Facebook is doing a test that splits news feeds to highlight posts from friends to those from people that have pages like I do. And pages are important. You know, our Blueberry page and the Geek News Central page that I have on Facebook, those are all very important destinations and how I want you to get informed. There's a new show or there's a new blog post or something. But they've been doing a feature called Explore Feed where they break things out. And they did this test in six countries. And companies are not real happy about this. And one company says the biggest drop in organic reach we've ever seen. Pages have four times less interaction. The reaches fell by 2/3. And so companies are very, very much panicked over this specific test. And again, Facebook says at this point, it's just a test, but we will see where they go with this. I think a new band of rain's coming in. I hear the rain picking up out there. Over on BGR.com, for Samsung, copying the iPhone was a massive gamble and it paid off. Samsung just scored a massive win against Apple in a patent war that seems like it will last forever. It attained a retrial in one of the cases where Apple scored a significant victory back in 2012. Apple was awarded more than $1 billion in damages in a verdict that practically confirmed what many people had said about Samsung copying the iPhone. And Samsung was able to lower damages down to $400 million. And now the judge overseeing the case just said the case has to be tried again. So so maybe Samsung's not going to have to pay as much in the end. But yeah, copying the iPhone has cost them nothing at this point. There's a map out that shows how few self-driving cars are actually on the road. Only 35 cities worldwide are currently hosting autonomous vehicle testing. According to the map, 35 cities? How come the article says 53 cities? Okay, according to the map, 53 cities are testing or thinking about automated vehicles. Of that number, 35 cities, including San Francisco, Austin, Nashville, Washington, Paris, Helsinki, and London, are already piloting projects. Another 18 cities such as LA, Tel Aviv, Buenos Aires, Sao Paulo, are undertaking surveys are assessing the implications of AVs. So, of course, New York City's looking at it, but really not that many places where AVs are being used at this point are tested. So hopefully this number will grow with time worldwide. For those of you that fly a lot, and if you ever check electronics in your bag, you know that you're not supposed to check lithium-ion batteries. You're supposed to take those on your carry-on. I think a carry-on in the cabin is probably just as dangerous as you can get to it in the cabin versus not being able to get to it in the cargo hold. But the FAA is suggesting banning laptops from checked luggage. And matter of fact, I heard TSA check-ins are going to be much harder now because you're going to pull all electronics out of your bag, which scares me because I travel with a lot of electronics. It's just going to be ugly when I don't get a TSA pre. But anyway, they're going to propose that laptops be banned from checked luggage. It's not a good idea anyway, because laptops have a tendency to come up missing. They're an easy, pickable item out of luggage. So, you know, don't check a laptop. There's a new company called Affirm. It has a new mobile app that lets you borrow money for almost any online purchase. And this is kind of new. Lending startup Affirm, founded by PayPal and Yelp co-founder Max Levchin, is out to destroy the credit card, or at very least make a noticeable dent in its usability. The company, which began in 2012 by offering simple, transparent loans for web purchases, launched today a mobile app for the public that acts as a virtual credit card, so it can be used as a line of credit with no strings attached for pretty much any online purchase. The app is available on iOS and Android. So how do you pay this back? You have to write them a check? Affirm gives you a flat interest percentage up front, ranging from 10 to 30% for individual purchases, and tells you how much you'll ultimately pay before you buy. Doesn't say. You'll need approval for every purchase to make up to a maximum of $10,000. The company can deny you for larger purchases if it determines you're unlikely to make these payments on time, of course. The firm has made more than 1 million loans for a total of more than $1 billion since it started roughly 5 years ago. But think about that, 10 to 30%? 30%? That is some insane interest rate. Please be careful using this. And if you charge stuff by credit card, just pay it off every month. Giant robots fight organizers say the next step is giant robot fighting league. So when Megabots describes a fight between his company and Giant Robot, a Japanese counterpart, as a strange event, it's both accurate and a bit of an understatement. The bout in question, broadcast last week, was the culmination of a Kickstarter campaign and more than 2 years of hype, but the fight was more BattleBots than Transformers. The two robots stood still and took swings at one another while commentators did their best to inject some drama in the situation. Some fans were disappointed by the fake fight, while others were just happy to see it actually happen. There was a ton of overwhelming excitement, Calicente tells The Verge, before adding, and we had a bunch of fans who felt like it was not exactly what they imagined. And I think for the first time you create anything, you're going to have a lot of critics. Yeah, these things didn't get tore down. They didn't get destroyed and ripped to bits. You can see the duel. There is a YouTube video. Link will be up in the show notes. Let me know what you think. Life insurers are offering members a $25 Apple Watch if they earn it. Now, be careful here, folks. You might have heard insurers discounting the Apple Watch before, but never quite like this. John Hancock is offering all of its Vitality life insurance policy holders, including newcomers, an Apple Watch Series 3 for $25 so long as they use it and remain actively. Specifically, you have to exercise enough to earn Vitality points that lower or eliminate the monthly installment you'd otherwise be paying. Accrue 500 points per month for 2 years, and the smartwatch is yours for no extra cost. That's a potentially big bargain, especially if you're paying for basic coverage. John Hancock previously offered Nike the not-quite-free wristwear solely to people with policies worth $2 million or more. So in other words, they want to see what you're doing, how you're staying healthy, whether or not you become a higher risk for insurance. They want to reduce health problems so that they don't have to pay on your policy so early and get more money out of you. I would be very, very, very careful taking a free watch from an insurance company. They're going to spy on you for sure. Stephen Hawking's PhD thesis is now available online. Anyone can download Stephen Hawking's 1966 doctoral thesis, Properties of Expanding Universe. And, of course, Hawking is a theoretical physicist and famous for his research in relativity and black holes. The 134-page dissertation written when Hawking was only 24 is the most requested item at the Cambridge Library. About 200 requests have been for it since May of 2016. People had to pay $85 for a digital copy of it, but now it's proof to download. So, okay. Cool. It's been such a high demand since they made it available, the website may crash. T-Mobile's gained more ground as the Sprint merger nears. Outspoken T-Mobile CEO John Legere is playing it low-key. They're not even doing an earnings call. They posted third-quarter results, usually a chance for him to jump on a conference call to crow about the company's performance, but they're in a silent time. For now, T-Mobile is focusing on its quarter results. We saw the nation's third largest carrier at 595,000 postpaid phone subscribers who pay at the end of the month and typically boast higher bills. It added a total of 817,000 postpaid customers when factoring in other connected devices like tablets and wearables. At the same time, Star Trek Discovery is returning for a second season. So, the experiment has been a success. CB is renewing. Star Trek Discovery. How many of you have been watching it? I have not. I haven't paid their fee to get access to it. Pay with Google goes live to speed up online checkout. The checkout experience can be quite frustrating when you're shopping for something online via your smartphone or tablet. Customers only have to fill in a couple of forms or may have to jump back and forth in some instances just to get everything in order. Google highlighted a new way to speed up this experience earlier this year called Pay with Google. It's live now to speed up online checkout. Pay with Google enables users to enable checkout quickly with any debit or credit card in their Google account for services like Google Play, Chrome, YouTube, and Android Pay. I had trouble adding a regular credit card to Google Pay because we were going to buy a movie and one of my credit cards expired. So I put a new credit card in their system and it basically said you can't add this credit card. It made me use my debit card, which I never like using for any type of online transaction. So we bought the item, it was a movie, and then I removed my debit card from the profile. I don't know why they wouldn't let me add my regular Visa card, but it was refusing. There was a rumor that Google was going to be sharing revenue with news publishers, and Google came out today and said, nope. This is false news, fake news. We are not going to be sharing any revenue with news publishers to help prop up their business. But they did comment saying that we've not reached any conclusion on the revenue side. So that means maybe the door is still open. We'll see. The Galaxy S9 may have a front-mounted fingerprint sensor. There's a patent submission that is out there that talks about this fingerprint sensor that they may be adding. It's got to be on the front. Any fingerprint sensor on the back is not that cool. Those of you that are TiVo fans, TiVo's rumored voice-controlled DVR box has popped up at Amazon and Best Buy. It's called the Volt Vox, B-O-L-T Vox, and the Mini Vox. And apparently, it'll feature a new interface and remote. Don't you update on me. Oh. Firefox, just see, I'm sitting here doing the show, and I see this pop up on my secondary screen where I have the browser queued. Critical Firefox update. Download now. I've never seen, this isn't the real deal. Where did this come from? I was on a website, and and that website kicked me to that page. That was not a real Firefox update. I just about, What page did we have loaded here earlier? I have to go back in the video and look. That page definitely is super suspect now. Always look at the taskbar, folks. Make sure you're on the actual site that you think you are. At the top of the head bar, it was status bar. It's very obvious. I was not on Firefox. New York City is going to get tap to ride turnstile starting in late 2018. I haven't rode in a, well, I did. I rode on the New York subway last year, but I don't remember. I guess I had a ticket. Tap to ride turnstiles. How come they don't have this already? I guess if you have a Metro card, can you swipe a Metro card? It's going to install NFC-equipped fare systems. I guess you can be able to use your phone. But anyway, you know, in Japan, their system is fantastic. I guess the MetroCard in New York City is probably similar. But with the NFC reader, you just use your phone, tap your phone, and it will, you know, charge you your fare. Very, very cool. Amazon has received 238 Headquarter 2 proposals from regions across North America. More than 200 metro areas entered to win Amazon's massive HQ2 contest before the October 19th deadline. Those proposals came from, okay, this is kind of funny. They say 54 states, but it's preface 54 states, provinces, districts, and territories across North America. The numbers are higher than many previous estimates, illustrating the intense interest in landing Amazon's $5 billion second headquarter campus. There are only seven states where no cities are bidding: Montana, Wyoming, North and South Dakota, Arkansas, Vermont, and Hawaii. Not surprised. They can't afford to come here. Costs, well, you know, here they have a captured audience, so they don't have to pay them as much. That's what happens in Hawaii. That's an amazing dynamic of being on an island where people don't want to leave, is that the employers take to that to their advantage and underpay people in many skill sets. Ford's on-demand van service is running again in San Francisco. It's called Chariot. So they fixed some of their licensing issues, and that's back up and running. I wasn't even aware of this service. But again, Ford Motor Company's on-demand van service is running again in San Francisco. Chariot. Download the app and book and ride. Over on the Register, Newegg scrambles against rotten shell company claims. TechSlinger hopes this $3 billion fraud lawsuit will be over easy. On electronics, Suk Newegg has been accused of taking part in a financial scam that duped banks in South Korea out of billions of dollars. Now, this is kind of interesting because according to a complaint filed by the U.S. District Court of Los Angeles by Industrial Bank of Korea, the lawsuit filed last week lists Newegg among 20 other companies and individuals as defendants facing accusations of fraud and negligence and unfair business practice. Newegg and others, this claim, acted as accomplice to a company called Monuel, and I'm raking my brain, Moneual. Did I write about them before? So one way to check this is let me load Geek News Central. I swear that I have talked about them before. Manuel. Is there an article here? Yeah. I've talked about them at CES. Both in 2013 and in 2011. They were innovation awardees. That's how I remember talking to these folks. Oh, that's curious. How come that hasn't got an updated player? All right. Anyway, this is an interesting development, at least. I'm going to find out more information about this. But Newegg is in this lawsuit. and they were doing some sort of, they're being accused of some sort of Ponzi scheme to prop up this company's sales numbers. It seems a little bit far-fetched. We'll see, but yeah, Newegg, it would come as a surprise, to be honest with you. Pixel 2 XL screen burn-in is real. Google's actively investigating the problem, and it's a big issue. OLED burn-in after 7 days of full-time use, and that's not a good sign for the Pixel 2 XL. Google could have themselves a huge issue here. The Nokia 3310 3G will be available in the U.S. for $60 later this month. This is a pretty dumb phone. This is not necessarily a smartphone. It's a classic phone, and this phone originally came out in 2000, and the 3G version with faster data speeds. But again, this is a dumb phone. This thing is about as basic as it's going to get. Matter of fact, this would be a perfect phone for a snobby kid that is pissing you off, or you want to get them off a smartphone. Amazon has discounted Kindles by $30 to celebrate its anniversary. So the basic Kindle can now be purchased for $49.99 instead of $79.99. The Kindle Paperwhite is being sold for $89.99 versus $119. And the Kindle Voyage can be picked up for $169. It's usually $199. And the sale will go on for like 10 days. So the link will be up in the show notes. The Essential phone by Andy Rubin has been discounted, and it's been dropped by $200 as we last reported on the last show, and that price cut is permanent. So it must be they got a good kick in sales out there. All right, fellas, this is not what you buy your wife for Christmas. But if you want to get her something nice some other time, it's called a Califon Bakeware Set. It's a 10-piece nonstick set. Includes all the essentials like loaf pans, cookie sheets, muffin tin, cooling rack. Matter of fact, you buy it for yourself and cook some cookies for her, and I'm sure she's going to be happy. It's down to $60. It was up around $100. So it's something that the folks at Kinja.com pointed out to us as a deal that's out there. The president has said that he's going to allow the release of the classified JFK files. He made that tweet on Saturday, so we'll see if he holds true on that. Also, over in Coast to Coast AM, a pair of submerged pyramids have been found in the Bahamas. Maybe this will explain the some of the disappearance of stuff out there. But anyway, some sketchy images for you to look at. That's going to wrap us up for the show. Let me see what we've got for email that has come in. When it rains, I get a little feedback through my mic, and I don't know if you guys are hearing it or not. I can hear it in my headset, so it's a good time to wrap the show up. Mike asks, getting close to Black Friday deals, any talk in the street on what deals might be available? I haven't seen anything. And also, Mike says Atari has a new game console in development. And, of course, political ads on social media. I think that's a done deal. But, Mike, sorry, I missed your earlier comments. Thanks for commenting throughout the show. Okay, no emails have come in. Geeknews@gmail.com is a place where you can remedy that. And are you excited about the CES coverage this year? Are you going to join us live as we go back to having a broadcast schedule? And I've already got commitments by a significant number of Tech Podcast members, and we're going to be meeting this Saturday for our first kickoff meeting for this year. I normally have these things in July, but we've gotten so good at doing CES, we're pushing pretty late. We're having a meeting on Saturday and getting all the parties together and talking about the coverage. I'll fill you in on how that goes, but hey, we appreciate you being here and taking the time to listen to the show. Love to hear your comments on the show and on the website and what we've been doing there. And I am looking for some additional editors, people that want to blog for us. So if you're interested in that, let me know. But again, it's been my pleasure to bring you the show today. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And we'll see you on Thursday for another edition of the Geek News Central podcast. Support our sponsors and email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.